Today, my guest is Liv Erickson. Liv, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I understand that you are an expert on virtual reality.
I like to think so.
Yeah, that's cool. Virtual reality, I actually don't know very much about virtual reality at all. Tell me, what is virtual reality?
Yeah, so a lot of people have the image of kind of the Matrix style or a holodeck style virtual reality. And obviously in 2016, we're not quite there yet.
Right.
But it's kind of impressive over the past several years how much virtual reality has started to grow and come into the mainstream kind of technology trends. So back in 2012, Oculus started to get really big because it was the first affordable consumer head-mounted display.
Yeah, but we have an Oculus right here, don't we?
We do. We do. This is the second developer kit that Oculus has released, and their consumer edition will be out sometime within the next couple of months.
Oh, this is a prototype here. This is like you got to know somebody to get one of these, right?
Well, they were actually selling both the developer kit 1 and 2, I think 2012 and 2014 for each of those. And the consumer devices are landing now, but a lot of people have actually started to focus on a couple of different types of virtual reality. So the Oculus is an example of a head-mounted display that you'd plug into your computer, and everything runs off of the graphics card and is powered by whatever desktop computer you plug it into.
I see. So this is really kind of a dumb device. It's the computer that's running everything.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. This has a couple of, I can show you, and then I can show the camera, some lenses in there. There's a screen in here. Prototype hardware, this was all just mobile components, mobile phone shoved into a head-mounted display.
Oh.
But it has a couple of cool things that help make it a little bit more immersive. Mm-hmm. So with this display, and I don't have it with me, but there's a little camera that attaches to it, camera-type device that will track where you are in the 3D space within a certain distance from your monitor. So you can get some positional tracking there. You get the head tracking and orientation tracking there. Some of the desktop components will actually be full room scale. The HTC Vive will do a 15 by 15 foot room. So you can actually move around within a much bigger space.
Okay.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have mobile phone based hardware and mobile phone virtual reality.
Okay.
And in those situations, the head mounted display could be something as simple as a piece of cardboard with lenses stuck in it, which is what Google did.
Yeah, I have a Google cardboard.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I actually have a Windows phone that will fit inside of my Google cardboard.
Yeah, that's the great thing about the mobile devices is that it's entirely based on the software. So you can run it on iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and the headsets are not locked into any particular platform.
Okay.
We've started to see that as being kind of the lowest barrier to entry for VR experiences, and everything in that case is just powered by a mobile phone.
All right. And so what are we doing with this? What kind of applications are we running? Are they games? Are they entertainment? Are they business applications?
You really are already starting to see everything across the board being developed for VR. There's two major types of applications. There's 360-degree video and passive content, where the viewer is just watching what's going on around them.
Okay.
And you have interactive content, which is generally something that's computer generated and rendered in real time as the user is experiencing it.
Hmm.
In terms of the types of applications that are being built, you are seeing a lot of games. Uh-huh. Gamers tend to have the hardware that's required to run high-end virtual reality experiences already.
Okay.
But you also are starting to see really interesting applications of video journalism in 360-degree videos. The New York Times shipped cardboard viewers with their newspapers a couple months back, and actually have their own application that they do immersive journalism through.
Immersive journalism, define that.
It's a form of journalism where they actually will capture what's going on in a particular time or place at a given event.
Okay.
In 360 degrees. So they have a specialized cameras that will capture the entire world, so the viewer can actually be immersed in whatever experience is happening.
Okay. So I can let me take this. This is sort of another step beyond. Originally, we had printed newspaper. We would read about a story taking place in Asia, for example, even though we're here in the United States. And then we had television. We could watch the reporter standing in Asia somewhere and reporting from the scene. And now we can almost immerse ourselves and look around and actually see what's going on in Asia and walk around a corner and explore that area. That's more like that, right?
Yes. And you in this case essentially are seeing exactly what the reporter has seen. So they've done some video content over, with the refugee crisis in Syria as an example. After the attacks in Paris, they had videos that they were streaming. So you could actually be present at the memorial services. They've started live streaming the Democratic and Republican presidential candidate debates. So you can watch them as if you're actually there in the audience.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then on top of just kind of the journalism, the gaming aspects, there's a lot of other interesting applications around education and being able to immerse someone in, say, a foreign language learning environment where they can actually see the objects and interact with objects and train themselves as if they were in a real world experience. So
I guess that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's actually really fascinating to see how we as humans are so spatial that even just being in an environment where we can kind of manipulate the data that's around us tends to be very beneficial for learning purposes.
I would think learning something like auto mechanics would be even more practical than learning a language because it is physical as opposed to verbal.
Yeah, and you know, training in situations that would otherwise be incredibly costly to simulate in a physical environment is another big one.
Very cool. And you are actually, you're not just playing with this stuff, you're building virtual reality applications. Tell me about that.
So it's actually really fascinating that even at such a young kind of age for this technology to be hitting consumer markets, you know, virtual reality has been around for a long time in various forms, but people weren't really developing for it at the rate they are today. And it's kind of been fascinating to watch the evolution of the developer tools as the hardware itself is developing, because a lot of the times the software is actually outpacing what the SDK or the runtimes will be able to support. And people are having to update that constantly because so many people are building experiences based on, you know, what's happening at runtime and with the hardware. And they're making a ton of changes and then sitting around like, okay, now when's the next version of the SDK going to come out so we can update this and be ready for when the consumer device is launched.
There's sort of a leapfrog between hardware and software in every, every aspect of the computer industry.
Yeah, but in terms of actually developing for it, there are a ton of different ways you can actually do this already. So a lot of people use a middleware service, so a game engine like Unreal or Unity, to build 3D content and applications out for VR. Both of those engines have really gone all in with the VR technologies in terms of supporting them and creating plugins for them so that it's incredibly natural to just build your environment and then support virtual reality on top of that. All of the different device manufacturers have their own SDKs, so you can write that code natively in, you know, C, C++, C Sharp, whatever really you're familiar with, and can wrap around the applications. Because again, these are just applications that you'd run on the desktop computer or on your mobile phone. So the development environment for that is very similar. My recommendation for people who are just getting started with VR development is to learn Unity or Unreal, especially if they've never done 3D development, because those editors have a lot of really powerful capabilities for producing 3D content and building 3D environments.
And they could take care of things like the physics engine, drop that in, or the assets you can either buy or borrow from other people.
Exactly.
If you're not artistically inclined.
Exactly. And even kind of outside of those game engines, the web is actually starting to be a platform that's emerging as having a lot of potential for VR. Now, a lot of modern browsers don't support frame rates as high as you need for virtual reality experiences. But we're starting to see browsers support stereoscopic rendering and offload a lot of the hardware capabilities to the browser, and they'll handle transforms and applying updates. So in your application, you can actually write JavaScript on top of WebGL and play around with different devices. They automatically support mobile or desktop. The browsers figure all of that out for you.
So do you mean that you're watching a browser, but you're wearing these goggles, but you're seeing the browser inside the goggles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so you can build really cool, immersive websites that don't need to be installed on different devices, that'll work across different platforms, that'll automatically adjust whether you're in a VR headset or not versus whether you're a desktop or mobile experience.
And so it might flatten it out, for example, if you're on a desktop.
On a desktop 2D screen, you'll just see a regular WebGL canvas.
Okay.
In VR, that'll be rendered stereoscopically, so you're more immersed in that content.
Oh, interesting.
There's actually also a number of markup style languages that are being developed to make it even easier for new developers to kind of get started with that, and they don't have to worry about the stereoscopic rendering. They don't have to worry about writing complex 3D environments and meshes themselves. They can actually just utilize a lot of the tools that developers are making to enable that. So an example of that might be A-Frame, which is a project that Mozilla is working on that is just a very much HTML-styled language for building VR objects.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah.
What have you built some applications yourself?
Yes.
What's your favorite one?
Okay, so I had this problem where I was demoing a lot and I didn't ever have a consistent demo that worked and was age appropriate for kids. And I did a lot of demos to kids, you know, in the 13 to 18 year range, like middle and high school.
I bet they love this stuff.
They do. Kids love VR. But I would always have to, like the day before, go find the latest version of a demo that might be working for that. And so I built an application called Kitten VR, which is essentially a first person shooter, but instead of shooting the kittens, you're collecting them and returning them to their parent cat.
Oh, that's cute.
It was a lot of fun, and it's still the project that I use the most often when I need to go learn something new. I'll go and figure out how to implement that into Kitten VR and integrate that in. I really, really love that one because it showcases how easy it is to get up and running with Unity almost immediately. But then I'm also been playing a lot with web VR tooling recently. And I think that there's just a ton of potential, as you know, because web developers are a huge, huge group of people, like with the web and how.
Yeah, and that'll ease the transition from web development into VR development.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I love when web developers will look at me and be like, oh, I can't build for VR. I don't have any 3D development experience. And I'm like, actually, but this all will help you with that. And they didn't realize that was an option. And I love seeing new people who are coming in from outside of the VR and gaming industry start to see where those applications can really shine that utilize the vast amounts of data that we're already collecting in web services today.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, this is what you're telling me is great. It's very inspiring. But really, to get to the meat of this thing, people are going to go to learn about it where? Where's a good place to start if they have no experience?
If you have no experience, I have a GitHub repository.
Oh, what is that?
It's missliveyrose.com/learnvr.
Okay.
And that's actually what I'm using to personally collect all of the information that I use to learn about VR and give a lot of intro content. I've actually found it kind of difficult to find a condensed place to learn virtual reality development because there's so many different approaches you can take.
I see.
But, you know, if you want to learn Unity has great documentation and tutorials. Yes. If you want to learn Unreal, they do the same. All of the different kind of silos of VR development tend to have a lot of great content around them. It's just a matter of figuring out how to mesh those all together so that people can form a cohesive strategy around what do I want to build and where do I start looking for that. So that's actually my goal with LearnVR, is to make a kind of a one-stop shop for anybody who wants to learn about all the intricacies of VR development and get like an overview content and run with it from there, depending on what they're most interested in.
If you want to test on something like an Oculus, do you need to be part of a special program to get these things, or is that available to anyone?
So the Oculus developer kits are not on sale anymore because they did open up pre-orders for their consumer Rift.
Okay.
So those will be shipping sometime between March and July, depending on at what point you're putting your pre-orders in. I think now they're estimated to ship around July for people who go out, you know, today and do that. But, you know, online people are selling their dev kits because they are so close to consumer release. But I would never say that someone should not develop for VR because they don't have access to a developer kit. Because as I mentioned, you know, with your phone, you can start running VR experiences right off of your phone if you have, you know, a $20 viewer. So a lot of the principles of 3D development for people who have never built anything for VR will be consistent regardless of the platform that you choose.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I happen to know that you are speaking all over the world about this.
Yes.
What's coming up for you? Where are you speaking next?
I've got a couple of local conferences in San Jose and the Bay Area that I'll be at. I'm flying out to Philadelphia in April for two conferences. I love Philly. And in June, I'll be flying out to Scotland and giving a keynote at Scotland JS.
I've never been to Scotland.
I love it. It's been 9 years since I've been to Scotland, so it's been a really long time, and I'm really excited to go back.
Liv, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of people think that virtual reality is an isolating technology, but I disagree and think that it's one of the most social ways that you can connect with your friends.